49ers stopped at fourth in ransomware. What's before Halloween? Windows 11 22H2 and Intel combats chip shortage with raising prices. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning and welcome to the September 13th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, and joined today as guest co-host, Mr. Matthew Fox. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well today, Ray. How are you doing?
It's another beautiful day. I can't complain. For those of you who don't know, we're missing Tony Francisco. He is doing the Lord's work over in D.C., attending DattoCon, getting tons of interviews for us, which we'll showcase later this week. So we appreciate you filling in for him.
Hey, I'm just Tony with more facial hair.
And we almost we were going to do deep fake Tony audio with your face, just, you know, out of respect for Tony. Have you heard these deep fake audios lately? They're getting kind of out of hand.
I've been seeing them for product descriptions on LinkedIn lately, and there's that moment where you look at it and you're like, that's not a real person, come on. And it's a little unnerving at times, isn't it?
It's ridiculously unnerving, and it's getting to the point where you can't tell the difference. I saw this story where a deepfake audio was used to rob a bank of $35 million. There was multiple perpetrators, but basically they supplied a bunch of fake emails, not hard to do. We report on that all the time, and then called the bank manager and provided the email saying, hey, we're going to be making this acquisition of another company, and here's the emails. We're going to need to make a couple transfers. And they made 17 transfers to different banks. One of them included in the U.S., which is why, or two in the U.S., which is how the U.S. got involved. But they were using a deep fake of the business manager for this business, to who the bank manager, they had a relationship. They knew each other. So they thought emails were fine. I recognize the voice. We're all good. And $35 million later, it's a Thomas Crown affair. I thought that was kind of dope.
It reminds me of something yesterday. I was watching The Matrix. What's the name of the second Matrix movie? Revolutions, Reboot. It doesn't matter. But, you know, you've got Agent Smith, and he makes his way into the real world. And there's a scene where he's going after Neo, and it's another person. It's someone that they trust and know is, you know, one of the folks that live in Zion or whatever it is. But the way it's the person speaking is Agent Smith, and you know there's something wrong. There's a disconnect there. One and one is not equaling two, and it's not that different. And that oddly came to mind while watching the movie yesterday.
I love that. It's just the way his intonation, the way he forms his sentences, same words, same, you know, the original actor's voice is just the way he was crafting it. It sounded like Agent Smith. It was so cool. But we're not here for that. We're here for football news. Let's get into the news. Well, it's the start of football season, and so we'll start with a football story. Our first story is the 49ers couldn't block ransomware. As reported by Sergio Gatlan on Bleeping Computer, NFL's San Francisco 49ers started sending breach notification letters last Thursday after personal information of more than 20,000 people was accessed during a ransomware attack in early February. The Black Byte gang claimed responsibility for the attack on February 12th by publishing an archive containing 292 megabytes worth of files allegedly stolen from the 49ers network. The team confirmed that personal data, including names and social security numbers, were accessed stolen in the attack, but did not reveal whether the attackers successfully deployed ransomware payloads. The football team added that they are now taking steps to prevent this from happening again by enhancing their security protocols and further educating their employees. At the time of the report, the team's systems have not been fully restored, and the investigation is still ongoing. This is a multi-billion-dollar franchise. Talking about from February to September, you're 7 months in. It's kind of ridiculous to think they haven't been able to recover. and now they're taking steps to prevent ransomware. So I apologize for laughing during the news, but you know, to think a multi-billion dollar organization like the 49ers, they can't recover from February to now, 7 months later, and they're now taking steps to prevent ransomware. That's a little funny to me.
It is funny. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ray.
No, no. I mean, this is the NFL. This is the peak of technological capability, and they get ransomware. Do we have hope? Is there hope for the rest of us?
First of all, I think it's given the amount of time that's taken place between the breach and it being reported in the news, that's a problem. But I will say a good job on your notifications, because data has been leaked. That's a responsible move to make. And I'm just glad it didn't happen to the Cowboys.
They can't win a championship, so they shouldn't lose their data. Is that what you're saying? Poor Keith.
I'm just saying they can't win a championship, so they'd probably be more apt to lose their data.
Ah, I see. If they had fans, then they would lose. Okay. Poor Keith. I can already hear him in the background. You know, he's going to be screaming. He's going to get back to us on the next tech bar. But this shows, and I agree with you. This is an interesting point. The notification timing. They did send out notifications to the affected parties in February, but it didn't make it to the public news until September. There's a fine line, right, between when you're notifying your attorneys, you're notifying your insurance brokers, you're notifying the authorities, and you've been on with Ninja and others when we've talked about those, you know, the remediation plans and the response plans. But where's that line? Where's responsible disclosure waiting too long versus, in your opinion, when should you be reporting this stuff?
I think that something should be reported the moment it's verified to be true. If you can confirm that a breach has occurred and data has been lost, that is when you talk about it. You don't wait 8 or 9 months. I've unfortunately been, I've had my information exposed in breaches. In fact, the T-Mobile breach from last year, I was a part of that. And I have to commend them, because someone tried using my account and the information that was leaked to have a phone added to my T-Mobile account. And not only did they deny it, because there were a lot of signs, I mean, the person that was trying to open the account was younger than the age of the account itself, so that's a good indicator. So having a T-Mobile account that's more than 20 years old is an excellent form of security. And the other thing is that the store manager called me immediately to let me know there was a problem. And then T-Mobile corporate called about 5 minutes later to let me know that there was something going on. That's responsible. They knew something happened because it happened in their store. There was no need to confirm an event taking place. They knew exactly what had caused it, the breach from the summer before. And they got on the phone with me. They let me know that they were going to take care of my password, my 2FA, everything that I needed. They were going to monitor my account. And for them, for that, I consider them to be a class act with regard to customer service. And I think that those are the types of actions we need to see, no matter the business type or scale.
That's the trick, right? It's not the mistakes you make. It's how you respond to them, that they don't happen again, preferably. But I mean, it's funny, because like, I remember having my own identity stolen once or twice, and you go back and you start pointing out the red flags that the creditor should have caught, right? Like, mm-hmm. I live in this state. I've lived in this state my entire life, and somewhere they're 900 miles across the country while there's other active accounts in my home state. Like, okay, I could see how that could pass for 30 days, not for 6 months, you know, stuff like that. So I agree with you, responsible disclosure, telling you how they're going to monitor for the future, how they're going to make it right, that they really show that they're trying to do things for the better. That's all it is. I think that's fantastic. If you've been a victim of something like this, or you have opinions on the disclosure period, let us know in the comments below. We'll be sure to address it in a next episode. But let's get into the next one. And our second main story, Windows 11 22H2 releases September, as reported by Mayank Parmar on bleepingcomputer.com. The Windows 11 version 22H2, aka Sun Valley 2, is rolling out later this month and will be offered as a full feature package update rather than an enablement package. A new feature for the start menu is being tested to allow more tabs and more activities in the recommendation section. It also has updated its snap experience and restored the drag and drop feature to the taskbar in this version. Design-wise, the task manager and the hardware indicators will be based on Fluent UI and WinUI respectively. Sun Valley 2 will be more environmentally friendly by trying to install updates in the background at times when there are more clean energy sources available. Since version 22H2 will be similar to Windows 10 anniversary update, expect a few changes and only some minor improvements. Matt, Windows 11 versus Windows 10. I know there's staunch advocates in each camp as to what they will deploy and what they won't. I still see enterprises relying heavily on Windows 10. You work for an MSP. What are you guys deploying? Are you still doing 10? Are you doing 11? Where are you guys at?
We're in between the two right now. As new machines get rolled out, they're using new versions of the operating system, and older ones that are being deprecated are being removed from the different fleets. But, you know, it was a great article. I read through it, and it's always exciting to see incremental updates being made to an operating system as opposed to like a full refresh that usually bothers me and incurs a lot of pain.
So the biggest takeaway for me on this story, believe it or not, was that the updates would happen in the background when more clean energy sources are available.
What a clean energy source is, and how do you determine what I'm doing on my machine, which I may need the power for?
Well, I mean, I have to imagine, I mean, Microsoft is the king of usability statistics, right? As far as not showing it in the UI, but definitely getting the metrics back to them, even when you click the box that says you don't want to send it back. So, you know, I have to imagine they know when devices are being used more heavily than others, and they're probably saying on my own, I'm not saying I have any data on this, but I'm guessing that they might be doing whatever's in the interest of the greater good in the light of the Texas grid, power grid issues, where they're had a horrible summer and now they're planning for a horrible winter, with California that's telling people not to charge their cars all at the same time.
With IKEA selling $1.99 power strips.
That's gotta be safe. You know, so it does strike me that Microsoft having the ability to make these ecologically friendly, even if it's infinitesimal, but some step towards a little bit better, I think that's worthwhile if we have the ability, right?
And I think that you have to keep in mind that a small step repeated millions of times over is a large step.
Yeah,
and exactly. That's an important detail. But I would love to understand a little bit better, understand how power management takes place on the PC with some of these changes that are going on. They sound like they're great. I just love having that background information to understand how the great thing is happening.
I know you've been in technology for a while. I don't think you understand how Microsoft updates work. The updates and the notes don't actually show you what's really going to go on. And like all Microsoft changes, there's always going to be a GPO where an MSP will just undo it anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Look, I survived Windows NT4 Service Pack 6A. I can deal with anything.
And with that, are you deploying Windows 10? Are you deploying Windows 11? Do you care about these updates? If not, I can always stop reporting on them. But we want to know, you MSP audience, what do you care about? Let us know in the comments, and we'll be happy to respond on the next episode. And our third top story, Intel is about to raise prices. As reported by Arij on HardwareTimes.com, after a disastrous second quarter, Intel will try to widen profit margins by raising the prices of its CPU and motherboards by 10 to 20% starting October of this year. The company missed double-digit targets for revenue and earnings per share and will need more than just competitive products to financially recover. In addition to CPUs and chipsets, Wi-Fi controllers and other network components will also get a price hike. Keep in mind that the 10 to 20% hike is just an estimated figure and the final pricing is yet to be determined. Matt, you brought up a good point prior to this of when was the last time they had a major price hike and we couldn't find that data. We were discussing, is a major hike at one shot good or little by little over time? What's your opinion on this?
I think that small incremental increases in pricing structure for almost anything is going to be much easier to handle than anything significant at once. And, you know, looking at the story, I was wondering, you know, are the supply chain issues, are we going through a situation like we've had in the past where, like, you know, the supply of RAM has gone away because of a natural disaster taking place overseas? But I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a business that's suffering, and maybe it's because they've made made some bad choices on their own. And I don't think that the customer should pay for that. If there's a resource shortage, if there's a production shortage and it costs more to make a product, I'm happy to pay for it, especially if it's a reliable product. But if you're telling me I'm going to pay 10 to 20% more because maybe you didn't have some good marketing campaigns, I got a problem with that.
And that's why I think it's kind of the latter, because, you know, if it was supply chain shortages, if it was, you know, disasters in certain areas and they couldn't get logistics flowing, stuff like that, if it was, you know, post-COVID, you know, recovery, that kind of thing, they've had plenty of time to plan for all this. So they had plenty of time to plan incremental changes.
Exactly.
I get restarting the factories takes time. I get, you know, so we knew all of that. Every other manufacturer had to deal with that. But to say, hey, we kind of foobarred the thing and we want you to make up for it, I don't think that's fair.
You know? No. The only way I would pay 10 to 20% for a new processor for Intel is if that 10 to 20% went into a marketing campaign where they brought the people in the clean suits back and dancing again. You know, that was, I think, kind of like peak Intel advertising. And it's something that people that had seen it years ago are not going to forget. Tell me about an Intel commercial or a piece of marketing that's stuck in your mind in the past 20 years.
There you go. This is one thing. You and I are both old hats in the IT world, and we've built more than our fair share of beige boxes and cut our hands on them. But I've never had an Intel processor box open the way I had an Intel Nook box open. That when you opened it, it played the jingle. The ding, 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 ding. Yeah, the Nook boxes did that. So I want to know if I could spend $300 on a Nook and it did that. If I spent $600 on a Xeon processor, why didn't that do it? That's good marketing right there. That I would pay a few cents extra for, because we did harass the hell out of everybody in the office with that. But, you know, and so on the CPU side, you have AMD, which is absolutely a quality competitor. No arguments there. Yes, they, you know, some skirt by, better stats here, better stats there, whatever, depending on workload.
At the end of the day, you end up with a computer that works. And I would probably be apt to buy a processor from Cyrix, if they're still around, than an Intel at 10 to 20% up more than you're paying right now. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
And that's,
I'm not
going to
pay for your mistakes.
And that's what I don't get, because AMD is already significantly cheaper than Intel with most comparable models. On the networking side, I get it. Broadcom's not the favored one, but there's plenty of other networking competitors for the networking side. You have on the motherboard side, I don't know anybody that buys Intel motherboards. You know, Wi-Fi chips, there's plenty of other competitors in the Wi-Fi space. Broadcom owns the space there. I don't get what they're looking to gain from this. I think they might be doing themselves a disservice, cutting themselves in the knees, making them overpriced and out of reason for a competitive option for clients.
Yeah, you don't make a product, allow it to become less attractive than your competitors, and then raise the prices. No one's selling juicy fruit for 85 cents a pack.
And that's the big difference between this and Microsoft, right? Microsoft, they had their NCE changes. And let's be honest, you have two options. You have Google and you have Microsoft. And they made Microsoft so good, that Microsoft 365, that you can't get out. So, you know, we want to hear it. Do you think it's going to affect you? Do you think it's going to affect workstation prices, PC prices, all that fun stuff? Hit us up in the comments or on the socials. In our first notable mention, Microsoft has fixed blocked logins, as reported by Sergio Gatlan. After installing Windows 11 update released late last month, users who added a new account in Windows 11 version 21H2 may not be able to log in for a time after a first restart or sign out. However, according to Microsoft, this only affects new user accounts and the first sign in only. It does not affect Active Directory domain user accounts or Azure Active Directory accounts. Microsoft addressed the known issue via issue rollback, designed to revert buggy Windows non-security fixes through Windows updates. Once rolled out, KRR-issued fixes usually reach users within a day, and affected users can get the fix after restarting Windows. For enterprise management devices, admins should install and configure a KRR group policy to resolve this issue. In our second notable mention, Cisco won't fix end-of-life routers. As reported by Sergio Gatlan on bleepingcomputer.com, Cisco says it will not release a patch to address the new authentication bypass flaw affecting several small business VPN routers because the devices have reached end of life, or EOL. The effective routers were last available for order in 2019. tracked as CVE-2022-20923, the flaw is caused by a faulty password validation algorithm that attackers could exploit to log into the VPN on vulnerable devices. A successful exploit could allow the attacker to obtain admin privileges depending on the crafted credentials used. Despite no evidence of a proof-of-concept exploit or any threat actors exploiting the bug in the wild, users of the unsupported devices have been urged to upgrade to newer models, still receiving security updates. So we have this amazing feedback from James A. Matt, you're the guest host. Can you read his long-winded post there?
Not only am I going to read it, I'm going to reenact it towards you so you can feel the full impact of it. Thank you.
And with that, what can I say except you're welcome. Thank you seriously for watching, James. We appreciate you and everybody else in the MSP audience.
And in upcoming events, we have in-person event, MSP Summit, Orlando, Florida. September 15th, we're back at the Tech Bar, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Blaine Yeager and Blake Scott of Uptime VoIP. September 16th, the MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. Tune in at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then September 16th through September 18th, in-person event, TechCon Unplugged, Chicago, Illinois.
I know he already said it once. I'll say it again. Don't forget to check out the Tech Bar podcast episode 43 featuring Blaine Yeager and Blake Scott of Uptime VoIP this Thursday.
Hey, I'm Powerhouse Ray.
And I'm Super Cousin Danny.
And we're your hosts for the Tech Bar. Join us September 15th as we welcome special guests Blake and Blaine of Uptime VoIP for episode 43 at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on the Tech Bar.
Won't want to miss.
Well, I know exactly what I'll be doing 6:30 this Thursday evening. How about you, Ray?
I might tune in. Seems pretty fun.
You might be a little busy at that time. We'll see what happens.
No promise. So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. And that's a wrap for the September 13th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch. Matt Fox, I appreciate you joining in. What are you doing this week, dude?
This week, I've got plenty of creative writing work to get done, and I'm probably going to be soldering some stuff. Because creative writing and soldering go hand in hand.
That's how I've always done it, personally. And I can't wait to see the keyboards you put together. I'm sure I'll get to see plenty of those pictures. So until next time, thanks for hanging out with us, MMM family, and we'll see you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
I would really rather talk about Longhorn. Where's Longhorn? Haven't been waiting. What's it been, 20 years? Have you been waiting for 20 years for Longhorn? Where's Longhorn?
And there's our blooper right there.
But I have to ask you, though. I had something funny and I lost it.
See, it's another blooper for you. But we have some feedback we want to get into. Very important feedback from our last episode. Yes, I really hyped up this feedback.
So. No, this is great because I'm taking this as feedback for my performance today. And James, thank you.
And that's a wrap for the September 16th, right?
13th.
There we go. That one. Oh, the one on screen. That helps. All right.